Idleman Unplugged is part of the Edify Podcast Network.
I want to see your face pass me by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise.
Hello, my name is Shane Idleman, and I'm the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California. It is my personal heart and goal for you to see truth through a biblical perspective. I hope that you enjoy this segment of Idleman Unplugged.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Idleman Unplugged. I am your host, Luke Duncan, and on this episode of the podcast, Pastor Shane makes a guest appearance on the Todd Coconato Show. We hope that you enjoy this segment of Idleman Unplugged.
I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place.
Hey everybody, welcome back. I'm super excited to have one of my dear friends and somebody who... Just so exciting what's happening. He's the senior pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship. That's out in the Leona Valley out in California. It's kind of by Lancaster and Palmdale area in Los Angeles County. But he has been just seeing tremendous growth at the ministry. He's an author. He's an influencer. Pastor Shane Edelman, welcome back to the show.
Hey, man, it's great to be here. And Todd, just so appreciate your friendship as well. We are dressed a little differently today. I'm just coming
off
of every night services, and you know, it's just a long stretch right now with when the season of revival that I'm sure we'll touch base on.
Yeah, well, no, that's okay, because I mean, I'm here recording the show and you're probably trying to get a little bit of rest because you've been going nonstop, so that makes sense, man. Plus, you're, by the way, I didn't mention you're a health enthusiast. I mean, you talk about all kinds of healthy eating and right. You know, so that's like a whole nother show for another day, man. But but tell us a little bit. So this is kind of cool, man. So I've been following, you know, your ministry. Obviously, we're good friends, but, you know, watching on Facebook what's going on. You send us pictures and updates. But so, you know, we go through the 2020 election. You know, everybody's discouraged, disheartened by kind of what's going on, especially in the Christian community. And, you know, people are seeing some really egregious things happening. You know, we're coming out of this COVID. I don't even know if we're coming out of it. I mean, there's some places they're going back anyway. So this is really tough time. And you decide, like, what was it, January, February, somewhere along there, you decided to take a time off and to really dig into the Lord. And I remember you went to like a cabin somewhere or something and really just got alone. You fasted and, you know, you were sending us updates. We were praying for you up there. Tell us what birthed out of that time. How did that, because that there was so much going on. For people don't know this, but senior pastors are really going through a lot right now. It's a tough time to pastor. I talk to pastors every day. And there's real significant challenges with the mandates, with people that are struggling, people losing their jobs. You know, you have all different types of things that you have to deal with as a ministry, from the government aspect, from the city. So you take this vacation. It's not really a vacation. It's a time to go deeper in the Lord, you know, right. And what comes out of that? How did that go?
And we're about an hour north of Los Angeles in Los Angeles County in Southern California. So right at the epicenter of what's going on in our nation. I think it's strategically for that reason.
Yeah.
What happened is, like many people, and I know a lot of your followers, by the way, your program, I think, is very well balanced. And thank that's you. What I appreciate. It's not, you know, we can get carried away on either side, but just kind of just, okay, let's hold the line. What's biblical? And
By the way, Pastor Shane is one of the guys that keeps me balanced because we go back and forth a lot.
Yeah, man.
So you and Pastor Jack Hibbs and people like you that are, you know, Jim Garlow, really balanced. And so I appreciate that as well, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's hard season to navigate because we don't know who to believe really anymore.
Yeah.
And trust. And so, like many people, I was frustrated going into the election and what transpired, what happened. I mean, it was just exhausting because we were on conference calls with, you know, with the presidential advisory team and leading up to this and pressing in, and really not about a man, but it was about a movement back to God, a movement that honors the sanctity of life and marriage and all these people in positions of leadership, from Pompeo to Tony Perkins to Ben Carson. We saw all these people just great positions of leadership, but then it seemed like the bottom fell out. And then, of course, you know, with the voting, what happened there, and won't get into details. I know we're on the same page. And and then the prophetic voices, and like, well, what happened with that? And of course, a lot of people, even today, they're telling me, well, they didn't miss it. It's, I'm like, well, okay, let's just get back to God's word. I'm, you know, we can't get into what's going on.
Yeah. That's another real quickly too. I mean, that's a whole nother piece of it, because, you know, you got the whole Q thing, and, you know, we've kind of already talked about that, but then you have the prophets, which is a boy, you know, it's part of the fivefold ministry gifting. So it's really hard to navigate that. Right.
Well, and I think, Yeah, we can maybe even springboard a little bit into that if you want, because I know we're on the same page, and because highly respected people, but we have to remember that man is not perfect. And there's a, you know, sometimes our desire gets in there, and what we think and what we see, and or they'll say, even though he did win, but there was fraud. And like, I don't know, I think we got to own that somehow something, I think God was using it to wake up the church. You remember, I was saying this probably since January.
Yeah.
That, okay. Well, it's clear that God is just wanting to get us to, because revival is not going to come out of pride.
Right.
Revival is not going to come out of a lack of desperation and a haughty spirit. It's going to come out of complete brokenness. And so I think God used that to completely break the church. So I took some time away to just to resort, you know, my ministry and what happened and what God is doing. And it was a sabbatical.
Yeah.
And so about 95 days of the sabbatical, I fasted just drinking water, 40 of
those. Did you say 95 days?
I took 95 days off.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
And
yeah.
We had a great, great leadership team that allowed me to do that. And then I fasted 40 of those days, not in a row, you know, 2 weeks here. I had to speak at Rob McCoy's church briefly on one of those Sundays, and I had to eat something. And so, you know, and just, God just from that birthed out two books, 40 days to reset your life, getting it back to really, you know, health and fitness is a passion of mine, but also spiritual health. And to me, they run parallel.
Yeah, I agree.
Try getting 4 hours of sleep and drinking tons of caffeine and junk food and see how you feel. I mean, it's a no brainer. And then another book that was so vital is the title is, Oh God, Would You Rend the Heavens?
Yes.
From Isaiah. And that's a short booklet. And he was pouring into my heart every morning and just writing these articles, writing this book. And so both of those came out of this season of I call spiritual revival. And that desire for, and we should clarify, revival isn't acting weird. It's not having camp meetings. It's not having a week's worth of meetings. It's not, you can't work it up. God brings it down from heaven.
That's right.
And he rewards those who've been seeking him, the remnant that has been searching for him. And this brokenness and fasting is paying off. And God begins to revive his people. So it's not about salvations necessarily. They follow, but it's about God reviving his church, reviving
new life. Body. Yep.
Yeah. And, and taking prideful people and making them humble vessels he can use. So my desires for that, and we've been seeing glimpses of that, the altar full, people, you know, just hung out in his presence at the altar, crying out to God. And then we start a 6 a.m. worship service that you have talked to you about a few years ago with three of us. And now there's 60 to 100 people at 6 a.m.
Wow. Yes.
And so we made that a 7 a.m. service. So now we've got a 7 a.m., a 9 a.m., 11 a.m. And instead of taking away from the 9-11, we actually have been growing in all three services. And then something I wanted to do for a long time is start church services every night.
Yes.
So we did that the last week of October, and actually we're on night 5 now, Friday. We're talking here, me and you.
Right.
I'm going to go preach a little bit later. Pastor Abram, my associate pastor, is alternating a little bit.
Right.
And so every night we've been seeing attendance grow, people on fire, camping out, you know, but they're not that huge, you know, into midnight. But we've each got 5 kids, and we each have ministries and all of us. So I think God is using that still revival atmosphere. The whole altar is full and people are camped out, and it's one long continual worship service, and people coming, driving from LAX and Irvine and Rancho Cucamonga and Thousand Oaks and up north. And they're coming from Sacramento, Arizona, and they'll tell us they're coming. And so you feel that there's that sense of God is just awakening these people, and they're excited to get to church every night. You know, we have over 300 people on a Thursday night, or close to 400 on a Wednesday night. And even Monday, you know, the attendance was, and just, you know, numbers aren't really, you can't do things based on numbers.
Right.
But you look, when you're sensing what God is doing, you do gauge there's a hunger, there's a desire, and that can be a reward or a fruit of what God is doing. And the testimonies from alcoholism, marriage. I've seen marriages that, well, they're on their way to divorce a couple months ago.
Right.
And now they're at the altar together crying.
Mm.
I mean, where does this happen? And
come on,
set free and haven't used crack or crystal meth or alcohol or marijuana in weeks or a month, or just, it's just amazing. And that's revival. God's reviving. Yes. He's moving. You can't orchestrate it. All you can do is steward it.
That's right.
So first you prepare your heart. And we've been, you know me, my heart's been for revival for 20 years. I read all the revivals, Duncan Campbell, New Hebrides Revival, Evan Roberts, you know, right. For that very reason, God has given me that desire to try to steward this, this atmosphere that he is doing. So we're actually, I just announced it an hour ago. We're praying about continuing. You know, we're just going to continue Monday night, Tuesday, all the worship team. Here's what's interesting. A couple of months ago, God was bringing, you know, you've heard some of the songs, these worship leaders from coming to our church. And now we have 10 or 12 solid vocals. Like, what are we going to do with all these worship people?
Well, one of the things that comes out of revival is a new sound, you know?
Yes,
and that's, exactly. I think what's happening is that he's bringing, there's like a convergence. What I find with what I'm calling revival epicenters around the country is that there's a convergence of people that are, the Lord is calling. I was just with an evangelist last night, Stan Lovins, and we were talking. It was a powerful dinner that we had. And he just feels led to come to Nashville because the Lord's movie. He says, I don't know. I feel like I'm, you know, I don't want to say too much because I don't want to put his information out there. But, you know, I don't know if he's going to come. We're praying about it. But I know, you know, Mario Murillo just came out here. There's some, you know, and that's what's happening with you is you're having a convergence in your church, worship leaders, people that are being led there. And you know what's crazy, Pastor Shane, is that people are moving places based on the church now. Which is really amazing to me. I have not seen this in 20 years of ministry. People are coming and they're saying, if I find a good church, that's where I want to live. Now, this reminds me back, like, you know, to the foundations of the church, you know. But now, you know, for many years, people would just kind of go and find what, you know, in their local community, one that kind of suits them. Well, now people are looking for, like you said, the remnant churches. And you and I talk about this often, and people, you know, write me very often. They say, I can't find a remnant church in my city. I've been to like 20 churches. You know, a lot of the pastors are afraid to speak on certain issues. They're kind of acting as if it's business as usual. I actually had a crazy meeting the other day. I'm not going to say the name of the person, but it was a big mega church pastor. And Shane, you would have thought this guy was like in the 90s. It was like focused on, you know, church growth and building a big facility and, you know, no urgency, no concern. I left the meeting like, wow, like it's almost like we're in two different worlds, you know, didn't have a concern about the current administration. I mean, it was like, it was wild, man. Yeah. And I'm just thinking, wow, like how many people consider this their pastor? I mean, he's got, you know, he's on TV, he's on all different things. Wow. You know, and, but I will tell you this, he did express to me that they've lost people, that they've lost revenue, and he's concerned about that. And, you know, it's funny. It's not really funny. It makes a lot of sense. But the remnant bold pastors that are standing, that are speaking out, that are, you know, their churches like yours have experienced tremendous growth in this season. People are coming. They're converging on them. So there is something that's happening here. But I don't think the entirety of the body gets it. I just have to say this because I know somebody's going to write me. They're going to say, Pastor Todd, do you trust the prophets? I do. I trust the real prophets. But there are prophets that are not real prophets. So that's where the Bible says test the spirits. And I think we just need to use discernment and wisdom. And in the mouth of two or more witnesses, my word will be established. It should confirm with the word of God. It should confirm in our spirit. And people often say, well, will you give us a list? I can't do that because there's too many. There's too many real. There's too many frauds. You know, you're going to have to, we're going to have to learn that. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. But I just want you to know, and I know I can speak for Shane on this too. We trust, real prophets. It's not that we don't. But, you know, there are some people that said some pretty outlandish things. And some of the things that have been prophesied, they also could happen in the future. You know, maybe they haven't happened yet. So, you know, it's a delicate balance, but both of us trust the prophets, right? I mean, you would feel the same, right, Shane?
Yeah. Absolutely. When I get that question, I say, I do trust the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah.
Daniel, yeah.
And so from my perspective, these prophetic voices that are, I'll just throw out one, Dutch Sheets. I mean, solid guy. I mean,
yeah, love Dutch.
You know, but we all have to remember that we are not perfect.
Right.
We are not infallible. And so if you're trusting in this voice, but not spending enough time hearing God's voice, that's where we run into trouble.
Yes.
And so we hear God's voice and understand, okay, they might. And my concern is not with Dutch, because he's humble and gracious, but as you would see, as their position and notoriety increased, so did, you know, we become prideful and thus saith the Lord, when really did he? Are you spending time fasting and praying? Is this burden been on your heart for weeks? And are you reacting? Are you responding? And so I saw a lot of people just kind of trusting in their past track record instead of trying to get a new heart for God and a new a zeal and emotion. I should mention that it's funny you mentioned that mega church pastor, because in our area, I'm talking from, you know, down in Irvine up to, let's say, you know, in our area, Northern LA County, All big mega churches are down probably half in attendance.
Right. Right. And I don't think it's coming back. Do you?
No, it's not, because the true colors have been revealed.
Yes.
And people are not hungry for that. And we lost 150 people during COVID because of moving out of California.
Right.
But the growth that God has brought, the people hungry from all over searching for those who will speak the truth. And we have to be careful. We're not saying that in pride and arrogance, because boldness comes from brokenness.
That's right.
Boldness comes from being filled with the Spirit.
Yes.
And prayer and fasting. And from that deep reserves of time with God, that's where the boldness comes from. So there's not self-exaltation.
No.
We're bold pastors and you're not. It's actually we're broken pastors.
That's right. That's
broken,
right.
Brakemen. And that's what God is looking for. Broken, humble people who have no agenda. And it's funny you said that about the remnant, because I'm actually teaching tonight in Ezra. When Ezra said, Lord, even in our bondage, would you not give us a glimpse, or the wording is, give us a measure of revival in our bondage.
Yes.
And he talks about the remnant group. So you see, the remnant group are actually the flames that start the fire of revival. The remnant group are those who are heeding God and hearing his heart and transmitting that to the people. The remnant group is actually who exposes the unfruitful works of darkness. So
we
need to be encouraged, because you're not going to have the majority.
Right.
Hollywood's not going to be on your side. Big mega churches. I mean, Jack Gibbs, who is a friend of mine, and he, you know, John MacArthur, and those are legitimate, solid mega churches. So it's not against churches. And we're actually a large church now. You know, our next step would be a mega church.
Right.
But God will bring in numbers, and you just can't rate it either way. Numbers don't prove anything, because Mormon church has a lot of numbers and a lot of money.
Right. So
you have to look at the doctrine and really the heart. My heart is for pastors is, and I know your student, not to rebuke necessarily.
No.
But it's a tear-stained plea to please get back into God's word, get humble, get broken. Stop getting your information from CNN and CRT.
Yes.
And what does God's word say, and become broken and humble? And you might lose people.
Yeah.
You might lose, but you ultimately, in the end, you win.
That's right, man. You know, so many people want a pastor, a shepherd. And I will tell you, this is from recent experience. I've been trying to do this unity thing out here in Tennessee, and been calling a bunch of churches. There's a lot of websites. You can't even email the pastor. You can't even get a hold of the pastor. So, you know, I can imagine what some people are going through. They're going through a tough marriage. They're going through a real crisis in the family. They're looking for spiritual leadership, and they can't get a hold of their pastor, the church they've been going to for 10, 15 years, tithing to and everything. What do you say, you know, because your church is growing, how do you keep that balance where you still shepherd the flock?
Well, fortunately, and this is where it is very interesting, God has brought an amazing amount of helpers.
Yeah.
I just released a video to about 100 of our staff and volunteers that God has brought from every area. And we have men mentoring men. We have associate pastor, and we have other people involved in reaching out to people. But here's the beauty. You see counseling go down when God's word goes up.
That's true.
You see counseling go down when the altar's open.
Right.
And it's like when you see, I tell people, I'll pray with you and I'd love to meet with you, but you need 10 minutes with God at that altar is going to fix 10 years of sermons.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
And so if you change the environment to where it's God-focused, the marriages can repair themselves.
Right.
The prodigal sons come home. The addictions break. I'm not saying, of course, you don't need to help people steer through difficult waters.
Right.
So a couple thoughts would be, it depends on the church. I would try to, because pastors are, even now, I just want, in the video, I mentioned that I'm not going to be as accessible when I've got services every single night. And we're trying to steward the entire environment, from sound and media and the worship team and children's ministry and all these responsibilities. But find those at your church who are solid, elder quality, deacon quality, and you reach out to them. And you to be a friend, you have to be a friend. And so many people think they're waiting on the church to reach out, but a lot of times we don't know what the needs are. We don't know that they're hurting. Go out and reach out. Say, hey, can you mentor me? Can you help with my marriage? Because the pastor right now is actually is a difficult season. If the church, most churches in America, 80% are 80 people in attendance and under.
Right. That's so right.
That's pretty manageable. But when you start getting, you know, we're definitely well over 1,000 now.
Yeah.
It's hard, but I'm seeing that the spiritual health and hunger is, we don't have as many counseling appointments as you would think, or issues,
right.
Because So many are coming to the altar. So many are coming to hear from God. And I remember one time a person was up there. I was at a speaking event, and there were just men were weeping and weeping. And some of the deacons said, "Hey, Shane, you got to go grab those guys and talk to them." Like, no. We're not getting up what God is doing.
Good point.
God's counseling. God's mentoring them.
I think
it's a false perception that you got to get to somebody and you got to help them, and you got, which is of course true. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But ultimately, they need to find God.
Yeah.
They need to encounter God. They need to share their heart and their burdens with Him.
That's so true. You know, it was a teachable moment for me many years ago, but I was at this revival meeting and somebody was just weeping at the altar, and the shepherd, you know, the pastor, me, I wanted to go and lay hands and pray. And I actually got kind of a, not rebuked, but you know, the pastor over the meeting said, no, leave him. He's getting, and you know, exactly what you said. It's true, because you're right. There's nothing like being at the altar and having the Holy Spirit minister to you and getting delivered and getting healed. Yeah.
Well, I've done that same thing, and that's how I learned. And I would go up, and what would happen, they'd be like, oh, no, I'm okay. Sorry. And they're kind of embarrassed, and you didn't, you know, you can stop the work that God is doing, even though your heart is right.
Yes.
And so last night we actually, I just left, and we put music on over the speakers. The worship team was, you know, done at 8:30 at night, and people are still at the altar. I'm getting, I'm getting text messages and pictures till, you know, 9:30 at night and people aren't, or it's not, you really can't promote it. But you can be excited at what God is doing.
Right.
And it's hard to find that balance, because you don't want to promote and push too much, because God says, okay, you got it.
Yeah.
But when real revival hits, you don't need marketing. You don't need media. No. You don't need, but it's okay to tell people, hey, here's what we're doing. Here's where we're meeting. You know, come and experience God.
Yeah. You know, that's a good question, because a lot of people are saying, you know, are we going in the tribulation right now? Are we in the birth pangs? Is this like just a revival, or is this the great harvest that the Lord talks about before He returns? I mean, a lot of people are saying this is the end time harvest that we're on the cusp of right now. What are you feeling in your spirit, Pastor Shane?
Well, it's good to clarify that word. Right now, there's a lot of confusion, because they think revival is having revival meetings. Not a bad idea, but that's not revival.
Right.
Or I saw something weird on TV. I don't want to be like that. I don't either. and just this revival, you know, I like a better word, is spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
And it's a reviving. The word's biblical, thoroughly biblical. Oh, God, would you not revive us again so that we can rejoice in you.
Yes.
And so, that's a hard one for me, because I do have people weekly challenging me on, hey, brother, we're in end times.
Right. Down. Just get everybody prepared. That's it.
What are you doing? I mean, haven't you read Revelation? Well, yeah, but I've also read all of the Bible.
That's right.
And God doesn't give up until the last minute. Jesus said, do business until I.
Yeah. Sure. Occupied till He comes. That's right.
Stewarding, keep doing. And how do we know? And it's not Ezra, but another one of the prophets would say, I think Malachi, we talked about, how do you know that God won't relent from the disaster He is planning and leave a blessing, leave a revival?
Yes.
And we just don't know.
I think
know
that's that. In Joel 2, too, right?
That's what it is. Joel 2, yeah. And how do we know if my people are called by my name?
Yes.
If they humble, well, that's not for us. That's for Israel. True. The context is Solomon. You know, God says, when I bring pestilence, that sounds a little familiar.
Yeah.
COVID, pestilence. When I bring pestilence, when I bring famine, get ready, people. You think all those harbors backed up are not going to result?
Yes. Yes.
When I bring these things, if my people, the remnant, those called by my name, that principle to me is still alive and well.
Yes.
Think about this. No, it's not good to humble yourself and repent and seek God and pray. That doesn't matter. You've got to be kidding me.
What right. Well, that's what gets me upset, because a lot of people are like, just sit back and eat the popcorn, enjoy the show.
They're lazy and they're cowardly. Bottom line.
Okay. I told you he's bold.
My mom told me don't make blanket statements, so I've always remembered that. Most people who say that, you're not going to see them at the altar.
That's
you're
true.
Not going to see them contending and fasting for their kids. They're just, well, let's just sit back and wait for the Lord. And that's not a healthy posture, because how do we know? How do we know? It could be 20 years from now.
Yeah.
30 years from now.
Yeah.
You know, and as you know, there's big debates on eschatology, the study of end time, millennial, premillennial, postmillennial, you know, pre-wrath, post-wrath.
Yeah. Another very hot button issue.
And so there's different views on the Antichrist and who it was in Daniel. And And so my thought is, we know he's coming again, correct? Yes. We know where I've always had a hard time for me personally is I don't see Jesus coming and there's catching away the rapture of the church. And then there's a second coming later sometime. No. I always have viewed that as one event, again, in my eschatological reading and understanding. So here's my concern. We're not preparing for people for tribulation. No. So if we're telling our kids, hey guys, don't worry, let's check this out. We're out of here when it gets real.
Right. Exactly.
You could be that. Actually, I think that could be part of the great falling away because people aren't prepared. See, sure. If you're prepared, you may die for your faith. If you go and talk to Christians in the underground church in China, we have some connections there, like I know you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not scared of dying.
No.
They're going to be prepared for tribulation.
That's right.
But those of us in America who get upset if we don't get our parking spot up front or our favorite pew or seat, right. You know, so I think the church is actually doing a misjustice and not really preparing the church with their heart.
Is that from the Left Behind series, you think, and things like that? Is that how this all started?
Well, you know, you've got Hal Lindsey, but you also have the Bible is, you know, for me, end times is like a puzzle piece.
It is.
The reason I don't take a strong position one way or the other is there's not many.
No one knows the day. Yeah.
Right. And I love like Sam Storm, wonderful theologian out of Oklahoma. He believes amillennialism and the millennial kingdom is here. And the points of the scripture is like, wow, he makes a great case. And then you have John Piper, who's, you know, well, that's different. Then you have John MacArthur, who's dispositionalism. And we don't. But then you have all these great men of God divided. I'm like, who am I to say this is what's going to happen?
I really like that answer, Shane, because, you know, I kind of avoid it myself. People say, well, you know, they want to nail me down. And I said, you know, I just go back to the scripture. No one knows the day nor the hour. Get your house in order, look up, be prepared. But like you said, occupy till he comes. And we don't know. We got to be prepared to go through this. If it does happen where we are here for the tribulation, we got to be prepared. And hey, we're going through some tough times right now. You know, there's people right now that are losing their job from 27 years, you know, because they don't want to take the jab or different things that are happening. How are you navigating through that? I know it must be affecting your congregation as well.
Oh yeah, I just got off the phone with a guy losing his job at the Air Force. Another lady at a credit union, and the Northrop Grumman, big aerospace out here. We were at a protest, and I mean, they could see oil. I don't know how they're going to let all these people go. Look at our sheriff here in Los Angeles County said, "Hey guys, you can't lose 15 to 20% of your police force. Crime is already escalating."
Yep.
And so I'm navigating the waters. In God's word, I tell people get anchored in God's word, because when you start giving wrong information and think you know exactly what's going on and exactly the conspiracy theories that are true or aren't true. And I think, you know, God, we need to seek God like never before. And I would say 40% of my congregation is vaccinated and they know where I stand from a health standpoint and studying vaccines and knowing from the mercury and the lead and now with the messenger RNA and what those ingredients are and the possibility. So they know my heart, but Romans 14, you've got to allow people their own conscience. And I think we would both agree that we hope it sends the right messenger to produce the right protein that will hopefully get rid of this virus.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not hoping that there's dread and I'm hoping I'm wrong actually. And so you have to allow people that freedom. And I think so many times just yesterday, I had to handle something where somebody said that I'm not equipping people because the vaccine is the mark of the beast, and people who take that vaccine are out of God's will and they're in sin.
No,
you know, but these people are highly in emotional.
Well, there's people that are saying that, you know, and I think I don't think the Lord is going to make it where it's like nebulous and we're going to have to try to figure this out. I think it's going to be pretty obvious because this is a big thing when the mark comes. Now, this could be a precursor. It could be an infrastructure. They could be putting this thing together here, but I don't think this particular thing. Now, that doesn't mean from a wisdom standpoint, you and I probably both know people that went to Gulf War and got, you know, vaccinated and got Gulf War syndrome. You know, that happened years later. People that were in Vietnam that got, you know, Agent Orange effects and things like that. So, you know, just from a wisdom standpoint, this is a new technology. You know, it's something different. And just we got to think like the body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, we got to ask the Lord. But, you know, I don't agree with the leaders and the pastors that are out there saying you have to get vaccinated. I mean, I think that's awful.
I wrote an article addressing that with Robert Jeffries and John Piper. I think it's okay to say it because they came out. And but again, these people, they're the older crowd, always had vaccines, always raised with vaccines, trust their doctor. So, you know, I'm disappointed that we don't do more research, but I'm not distancing myself. Like a lot of people are like, I'm not unfollowing them. I'm not listening to them. Right. These are false prophets. False prophets? That's not a false prophet.
Yeah.
And just people just are not educating themselves on how for me, the biggie is if we're truly concerned about health, then you would accept antibody testing.
Right.
Because from Israel to Switzerland, it's out there that high antibodies to resist COVID are far superior than anything else.
Yeah.
So why does nobody care about that? I was going to minister to prison and they said, no, I have to, you know, take the jab. And I said, how about an antibodies test? Nope. A kid's school in California, CIF, you have to play CIF, you have to have a vaccine or get tested every week. What about an antibodies test? Nope. So you see that, you see the website for where you would input your adverse reactions.
Yeah.
It's called the verse, vaccine something.
Yeah.
You know, even that they say is only 99% of the people aren't reporting what's really happening. So false information, the pushing, the agendas, it really, really makes a person concerned. But on the mark of the beast, we should say it's going to be a clear line in the sand. I'm rejecting God and God's way and God's truth. And I'm taking this mark that identifies me as such. So it's not that whatsoever, but it is definitely, you can't travel without it. You can't go to certain restaurants without
it. Weird similarities.
It's clear. It's absolutely clear to me that there is a system in place that
will, I think so. Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, we've heard about this Klaus Schwab, Great Reset, all this stuff. We don't know exactly what it looks like, you know, but there's some weird things that are happening right now. Like you mentioned with the cargo ships, with, you know, the US dollar, inflation is really skyrocketing right now. Like we've not seen in like 30 or so years.
I'm concerned it's just the tip of the iceberg, honestly.
Right,
I'm not alarmist, but you can't have, because there's no plan in place.
There's no plan.
It just keeps building, and Biden wants to throw more money at it. And I think you're going to read about this on Fox News if you haven't already, but they're wanting to give like each immigration.
Yeah, $450,000. What in the world?
Who's paying for that? Our kids.
Why don't we get that as American citizens? I was talking to my wife yesterday. I said, you know, if we didn't spend all that time in Afghanistan, because if you think about it, they pulled out. I don't really know what was accomplished. I mean, you know, thank you to all those who have served and
93 billion,
you know, but that money, imagine you just divvy that off and give that to every American citizen. We would all had a big chunk of money in our account and, you know, or you could have cured the homeless problem probably, or, you know, so many different things that could have been done with that. And, you know, here they're now talking about, you know, illegal immigrants that are coming over again. I mean, you know, again, I help the poor, feed the, you know, I'm all for that. But, you know, countries are it's like what President Trump was trying to do. The president of the country is supposed to care about the country, the citizens. And then the other countries are supposed to care about their country. Now, obviously, we can be benevolent. America has always sent out missionaries and that's all good. But if we don't keep our own house in order, then that all unravels, you know. And how are we able to help somebody else when we can't help ourselves? Right.
And that's you're going to have to title this message Table Talks on all different.
It's issues. Like everything, man. But that's because, you know, what I love about you is like, I feel like I'm interviewing somebody that like thinks like me so I can ask you the questions that I get asked all day. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, though. The people, I'm tired of this verse being misquoted. Turn the other cheek, love your neighbor,
right.
Help the poor, which we have to. But the government's role, even biblically speaking, Romans 13, you go through the role of government. It is to protect and administer justice to the people.
Yes.
And then we, as the body of believers, we minister to the poor because they can't, throwing money at the problem doesn't fix anything. It actually escalates the problem. The welfare crisis, Section 8, all those things, if the church could come in and properly discern, and I even toured the border with Jack Hibbs one morning with some pastors. And you talk to many, many of the officers down there. And if we could thoroughly vet them as far as, okay, this family is genuine. They really need some assistance. Here's some churches we can help.
Right.
Versus here's a sex trafficker. Here's a drug cartel.
Yes.
If there was a way to vet that process, then you could really help these people. But to just open the floodgates and pour out money, it is, we have to remember that the enemy, the Satan, satanic worldview is influencing. If you're not with God, if you're not being influenced by God and his word, you're being influenced by the other side of this. So that's exactly what's happening today.
Yeah, well, and you mentioned the border too. I mean, if you think of the book of Nehemiah, you know, what was part of the restoration was rebuilding the wall, you know? Yeah. So that's even biblical, you know? And, you know, these concepts are biblical. Like you said, we have to vet. We, you know, there's terrorists coming over. There's all types of infiltration at our southern border. That could later cause a greater problem that we haven't even seen yet, another 9/11 type, you know, event, or even worse. So, you know, we have to protect our homeland, and it's just logical and it makes sense. The cartels, the coyotes, all these people are utilizing this sex trafficking. They say it's a conspiracy. It's not. You know, you've been to the border. I've been to the border in Texas. I mean, it was a similar experience, you know, during the Trump administration when they were saying that these kids were in cages and all this stuff. I didn't see anything like that. I mean, there was definitely a separation that was happening because the kids were being separated from the traffickers and they were by themselves. What are you going to do? Put them with the trafficker? You know, they were without their families.
So I saw the rooms where the kids were at and the officers helped the kids. Here's the problem. A child comes across and there's some gray area. This isn't their parent. They don't know what's going on. And so the officers have to take care of that child and put them in a place to where they can get food, water. I saw the food, 3 meals a day. Let's find out what's going on with this kid.
Right.
When Obama does it, oh, no, he says anything. But when Trump says it, you know, does it now, it's a problem.
Right.
And so here's something that will help your listeners. I know they can throw this out there. You can as well. I've had people over the last, you know, year and a half, you know, talk about opening the borders and kind-hearted and all these things.
Right.
And I asked them, why don't you leave your window open
at
night? Why don't you leave your window open at night in your daughter's room in case there's somebody out there who's hungry? Oh, no, we could never do that. What's the difference? There's no difference.
There's no difference.
Protecting those. You're actually called to protect those within your sphere of influence as government officials.
That's right.
But then we should come along. I love to thoroughly vet and the population that needs the church, needs God, and those coming over from Afghanistan, they should have been vetted a little bit better and given to the right people.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much there. I mean, I couldn't believe how ministries and Glenn Beck and, you know, we were having to try to help get people out, you know, because the government had just left them. I think there's still over 1,000 people at least that are there that are stranded. Crazy, man. Let's go back to revival because, you know, I want to end on this really good note here. But, you know, you're seeing this growth, you know, people are at the altar, they're weeping, they're changing. What do you see happening, you know, in the next, I mean, is America done? I mean, do you see hope? You know, what do you think is going to happen? Are we going to repent? Are we at like this pivotal moment of decision right now where we could go one way or we could go another? What do you think?
Yeah, you asked that earlier. We kind of missed that question, huh?
Yeah.
Well, again, these are all personal thoughts and opinions, what I'm about to share with you. But also, I think there's some truth to that, that God doesn't do anything without first revealing that things to those who are near to him. Those who, I mean, the Bible says the prophets, of course, and you know, he would reveal them to them. They would, you know, come in and preach and also give scripture. And that's where the canonization of scripture and God's word. And so nothing compares to that. But I do believe he shows those who are close to him, you know, where his heart's at and where this could go and discernment and being discerners of our time. So in a nutshell, I would say that there is going to be a measure of revival in these difficult times. So whenever it's dark, there's also a light. But you're not going to see utopia. You're not going to see the America of the 1950s and 60s, but you're going to see a battling church in the midst of spiritual darkness. And you're going to see tremendous victories, but also some defeats. You're going to see tremendous light and gospel going out and people being converted, but also a huge attempt by the enemy to try to stop that. And so I think if we stop, you know, like I'm not a pre-trib, post-trib, I'm pan-trib. That's what you are. I'm going to see how it all pans out.
Right? Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And so, but so in the midst of all this, I think there is a reviving of God's people, a reviving of God's church. And when we say this, we're not saying, oh, back to the 1950s and nobody's going to hate us. And no, so that's not true either. But I do. Can you imagine thousands coming to the Lord? You mentioned Mario Murillo, what he's doing.
Yeah. It's his birthday.
You know, an hour and a half from me and in Tennessee in your area. And I can't remember Robbie or something, his name. I see him as post on Facebook. Pastors have got to get out of the way. Mm-hmm. We start worshiping within two songs, people are at the altar. Mm-hmm. And we just well, Lord, what, 40 minutes of opening worship. And God, what do you want to do? Want to testify? Want to go and pray for that person? God, do you want to heal? Do you want to set free? It's not my agenda. It's not, let's get them in a song, a few announcements, another quick song. Let's do a 30 minute. Did you know, Todd, that now the attention span of people is only under 30 minutes? We need to get our sermons down to 25 minutes, have a closing song, keep the service within an hour. Let's go to Chick-fil-A. No. But they're closed on Sunday. But that's it. That has to change. Yeah. Church as normal is over. This has got to be a remnant church seeking the heart of God, not in a hurry. Thus, say, I mean, most of our sermons now are probably an hour.
Good.
Many times, and people are, they're on the edge of their seat. They're hungry because when God is speaking through His Word through people who are broken and humble, it excites and it also irritates. We have a lot of people not happy with messages too, because the Puritans used to say that the same sun that hardens the wax, I'm sorry, will softens the wax, will harden the clay. And so the same word of God that's going out and causing all these lives to change also is going to have a huge demonic upheaval. I'm dealing with issues right now this morning over demonic issues, division, discord. So God's moving, so is the enemy. Marriage is being restored. Marriage is being people giving testimony, God saying they're free with alcohol, people are going back to alcohol. And so it's like this tremendous upheaval. So I hope that answers your question. Yes, I think we're going to see a lot more reviving if the church is willing to do what it takes.
Yeah.
I mean, how often does God say, if you do this,
I'll
do this. If you seek me, you'll find me.
So you'd say there's strings attached.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, or conditions.
Yeah.
You know, the covenant keeping God that says, if you seek me, you will find me. If you humble yourself, I will fill you. If you put my word first and put it back on the pedestal and humble yourself, I will ignite you. I will give you passion. All the people we love, D.L. Moody, Oswald Chambers, or Hudson Taylor, John Bunyan, let's just keep going down the list. They were all men and women, Amy Carmichael, all men and women filled with the Spirit of God. Without that, you have nothing. Because that's where boldness comes from. That's where the life-changing power of God's word comes from, men and women filled with His Spirit.
That's right. And we got to stand. And you mentioned earlier something kind of similar, what I've been talking about too, the best of times and the worst of times at the same time. And it's kind of what we're seeing. But, you know, when we go into the secret place, we fill, we recharge, we strengthen ourselves, we renew ourselves. You know, that altar time that you mentioned, critical, you know, getting away. I know you do a lot of running and going up in the mountains and stuff and just getting away with the Lord. And this is what renews us. It refreshes us. Fasting. Some things only through prayer and fasting. These are the ways that we're going to get to where we want to go. New life, revival. A lot of people say, I just want things to go back to normal. It's not going to go back to normal. But, you know, we don't want normal. We don't want apathy. We don't want the 90s and the early 2000s. We want a church that's on fire, that's the head and not the tail. And by the way, we're not here to criticize the church. We're not here to criticize pastors and beat them all up. We're just trying to figure this out, but we really want to seek God's heart. And that's where the Rend the Heavens came in. How can people get that download and find your information, Pastor Shane?
It's actually a free download at our church website, westsidechristianfellowship.org, westsidechristianfellowship.org. All the books are there as free downloads, or you can go to my site, shaneidelman.com. There we have links to Amazon and Kindle and different things. But they can find articles about this topic on revival. We also are giving out a couple thousand, I think now, free copies at our church of this book, Rend the Heavens, and just wanting to get the word out there for sure. So on that note, it's important to whet the appetite for revival. You ever walk into the house and your wife's cooking something, you weren't hungry, but now you are?
Yeah.
The same thing, when pastors start talking about rending the heavens and, oh God, would you come down? And there's a desperation, there's a plea. That will ignite a passion within your people. And so many people right now, even pastors, we have pastors at the church, they're at the altar, they're coming from all over to be fed. They've got to change all that, because unless they start saying it's about you, what do you want
me to do?
They're not going to see a change in their church.
That's right. It's not about a name. It's not about a ministry. It's okay to have a ministry name, but what I'm saying, this is about a move of the Holy Spirit. We're all in this together. We're praying. We're seeking the Lord. Pastor Shane, what's happening at your church is amazing. We're going to keep an eye on what's going on over there. I know you had the stadium over the summer, and now you're having nonstop services. And so definitely download ShaneEdelman.com. We'll put it up on the screen, and the Rend the Heavens, very, very powerful. I got in the beginning of it, but I have to be honest, I haven't read the whole thing, but got to start reading that, because that, you know what, we're on the same page, man. Appreciate you and your ministry, and we'll definitely have you on soon, man.
All right. Sounds great.
Bless you, my friend. All right. We'll be back with more Taco Notion.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Idelman Unplugged, be sure to send us your ideas and topics for future episodes of the podcast. You can send us an email at westsidechristianfellowship.org or shaneidleman.com. Again, my name is Luke Duncan, and I am your host of Idleman Unplugged. Thank you for listening to us today, and join us again on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Idleman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at shaneidleman.com. Again, that's shaneidleman.com.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app.
El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality in Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as Answers for a Confused Church and Desperate for More of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.